Hi, and welcome to the Virtual Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, Kimberly Ring, and I'm so glad you're here. In the Virtual Classroom, I invite virtual teachers from across the country to sit down and talk to all of us about what it's like to be a virtual teacher. It is my hope that through our conversations, we can educate, collaborate, and of course, connect to build a tribe of virtual teachers. Thanks again so much for being here. Picture this. You're a brand new virtual teacher at a brand new virtual school and then very quickly promoted to lead teacher. So first time teacher, first time lead teacher at a first time school. Can you imagine it? It's hard to imagine what you don't know, right? Don't know what you don't know. Well, Ivana is handling this whole situation so beautifully. I learned so much from her. Her first year as a virtual teacher, first year as a lead teacher at a first time school. And she empowered me so much. I've struggled for years on being real, being upfront, because I didn't want to seem too strong. And what I love is that immediately after this interview, I was able to take what she said, was empowered, and just did it, was real with a family, and told them that what we're doing now is not working. What do we need to change? And that student the next week was in Class Connects every day and working in their OLS every day. And I can't express enough how thankful I am for Ivana for empowering me to raise the expectations for my parents, for my learning coaches. So I'm still pumped for you to listen to this interview, and I hope you get as much of it out of it as I did. So without further ado, here is Ivana.
My name is Ivana Grimsley, and I teach with Florida Online School. I'm actually one of their elementary lead teachers, and I basically teach everybody or anything that's needed. Right now, I'm covering in a second grade maternity, so that's been a lot of fun. I live in St. Pete, Florida, and it's always beautiful and sunny here, which I love also, but I'm originally from Miami, Florida. I have a daughter. Her name is Avery, and she's 16 months old. So she takes up a lot of my time besides working. That's basically me.
Well, awesome. So I see that you started. Did you just start this year, or am I reading that wrong?
I did.
You start? Okay. Go ahead and tell, because it's kind of interesting based on what I'm reading, but go ahead and tell us a little bit about that and your transition and how you quickly just flew up the ladder. So go ahead.
So our school is brand new. This is their inaugural year. I was hired at a job fair for the school. They were doing like a mass hire, trying to get all their teachers hired in. So it was like super nerve-wracking, like all these people together there, you know, trying to get hired. And I'm like, what can I expect? So I ended up getting hired on the spot there. And then I started off as a third grade teacher, and I did all kinds of third grade stuff. And it was just me and one other girl, because our school started off pretty small. When we first signed on, we had about 600 students. And to date, we currently have about 2,500 students. So we've grown exponentially.
Is that just in the elementary, or is that total?
That's total. So okay, cool. we go up to 10th grade currently.
Okay, cool. And I was then, like, 600 in elementary, does that many? So I was like, that's insane. It's still insane, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But I was, oh man, that'd be overwhelming. Okay, sorry.
Well, we have 800 in elementary now. So yeah, still a lot of kids. But you know, I started off and my principal approached me. She's like, hey, do you want to take the elementary lead position? I was like, sure. So I ended up going into there, and I've basically just been a gap filler. Like whatever I'm needed to do, I do it, and attend a million meetings a day, and as well as cover classes for people. So it's always fun and exciting, something new every single day.
I love that. And I love that this is, it's not only your first year, it's your school's first year. That's really neat. So like, I can't even begin to imagine just the bumps and like, what's that even like? What's that like to be in a part of a brand new school? Are things just constantly changing as you guys figure it out? Or what does that look like?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say bumps, because we've definitely had some, I would, instead of bumps, I would probably say mountains, because there's been so many things. You know, in the beginning of the year, we were all hired on pretty much at the same time, even our admin. So we were just handed like, hey, this is how we think it should be done. And then as we've gone on day by day, we're like, you know, we don't really like that. And our principal is always saying, you know, next year is going to be so good next year. And it's just, you know, as we've gone on, we just keep learning more and more. So it's definitely been really cool to shape the school in the way that we've wanted to better our students.
Absolutely. So have you guys like looked at other schools and see how they do that to kind of get a starting point, or I have so many questions and I don't even know what to ask because.
Yeah. So there's actually another school here in Florida. They're called FLCCA and they're a charter school that's been running for a little while, but they run a little bit different than we do. So they're out of a couple different counties. So they have like different regulations and everything that we do. We're actually a public school run out of Hendry County. So, you know, we go off of what Hendry County says for us to do. And then, you know, what K-12 says for us to do. So we get to deal in both situations, but we do, you know, we reach out to other schools, even other K-12 schools all around the nation. We're like, hey, how does this work for you guys? What do you recommend? Because it's always great to bounce ideas off of each other. Even as a lead teacher, I meet with other lead teachers from the from K-12 all over the nation. We meet every other week, and we just talk about best practices, issues that we're having at our school, different things that we can kind of troubleshoot for each other, and it's really cool. So if anybody wants to join, you know, I'm always recruiting people for that too.
I mean, I'm not a lead teacher, but I'm always down for a good PLC because like, but anyway, I love that. I love what you're doing. I'm in Oklahoma and we are a public charter school, but we, what you said about you have to do things based on the county, that's kind of a little foreign to me. So like, cause we have our state regulations that we have to do, but going down even, and I think we are at the charter school and at the virtual school, we have so many people that we have to answer to, not only to the state, but many times there's a charter board that you have to like report to, and then obviously federal and all that fun stuff. But for you to even go down a step further and have to report to a county and what the county is telling you guys to do, that's like a whole bunch of hoops. So no wonder your principal's constantly like, yeah, next year will be better because yeah, they're just figuring it out. So what's been your favorite thing so far that you kind of had to hop through and you found a solution for during this first year?
Oh man, that's a hard question. There's been so many things. Cause you know, I keep hearing this saying all the time, like you don't know what you don't know. So coming in as a brand new teacher and, you know, being a brand new school, it's just, I feel like every day there's something so different. I think one of my biggest obstacles recently is we do a third grade portfolio. I don't know if it's like that in Oklahoma as well. Yes. Yeah. So it's been a challenge really trying to figure out, because, you know, our state requires specific things and, you know, how are we going to get these kids to complete this and if for it to be valid. And it's just been, you know, trying to troubleshoot and talk with our teams and talk with other schools and see how they do it, to try to troubleshoot that. And I think that's been recently like the thing that's been weighing on my mind the most. But we're finding some great solutions to it. And I think, you know, working as a team with FLCCA, with, you know, talking to other schools that aren't necessarily K-12, but hearing from other online schools as well has really helped in creating like what we want it to look like. Because I feel like online schools are always such an anomaly. Like you tell somebody, oh, I'm an online school teacher, and they have like such a misconception about what we do. And they think, you know, I'm just hanging out at my house, like, you know, doing nothing and answering phone calls from time to time. But people don't understand, like, I'm sitting here and, you know, working, you know, 8+ hours a day, just like a brick and mortar teacher would. It's just in a different environment. So I feel like that's a big challenge all of the time, trying to take something like a third grade portfolio and turning it into something that would apply here in our online environment.
Actually, it's that third grade retention law that you're, I'm assuming the portfolio has to do with, is why I got out of third grade, because I taught third grade here at OVCA for 2 years. And when the opportunity came, or sorry, 3 years. And when the opportunity came to leave it, I was like, yes, get me out, because this portfolio and things is too much. And I wasn't sure if it was valid. But we did a Dibbles where they had to read orally to us and 3 times a year. And I love that because I got to see and hear my kids. And I don't know why it didn't click then, but it's clicked now. Is now in fourth grade, we do all of our like teacher grade assignments and benchmarks live, where they have to come in, turn on their mics and webcams and share their screen. And that has been like the most eye-opening thing for me, is to actually see and watch my kids work, because I know what they're doing is actually super valid. What I'm seeing them do is what they're going to show me on their state test. And because I would have kids that would just bomb their state tests and they would show advance at home. I was like, what is going on here? And so I don't know if that's anything for you. I don't know if that's an idea that you've heard of before, but that's been something I wish I could go back to my third grade teacher self and wish I could do with those kids, because I would have known right then and there if my kid had gotten the skill mastered or not on their portfolio, because I would have watched them do it and maybe not their parents or brother or sister or whoever was actually doing it. So
yeah, we're finding that, because we're using GoFormative to run the portfolio assessments, and we're doing it live. Like, they're in Blackboard with their teachers and they have to be on Zoom, and you know, we set like a bunch of expectations for them. But it's been crazy, like watching, you know, getting these scores back, and it's like these kids are straight A students in the OLS and then they're not doing so well in the portfolio. And it like you said, it's really eye-opening to see that. And it's almost like scary.
It's to terrifying.
I'm like, oh my goodness. But hopefully, you know, our school being, you know, their first year again, there's so much that we've been learning from, and we've been hearing what you said, like from other schools as well, like doing those assessments and stuff on video. And I think that that's something that we're looking to change for next year. So fingers crossed that we do, because I agree. Like, that's just, it's so crazy, like seeing the differences sometimes.
It's, and I do, and I'll probably, just because we're talking, but I now use video every single class connect. So every single day my kids show up for class, they have to turn on their mics and webcams at some point. I'm looking forward to next year when we have new row, whenever they're going to just be on their live camera all the time. So I can see and watch them the entire class and not just during like breakout room times. But that's raised the bar too, and helped me with my kids who are, for some reason, are straight A's in the OLS, but when they take these benchmarks, they're not. And so I'm constantly able to see. And I think that's helped the parents to realize, hey, maybe I shouldn't be helping my kid as much as I am. So, because we all hate to admit that, but it's true. It's happening. So. Yeah.
And have you been able to go into New Row yet and check it out?
You know, I created a free account, and so you can kind of play with it. But I was selected to go into like this training for my school. So I'm going to be a rep for my elementary school, and I'm really pumped about that. So no,
awesome.
And yes, at the same time, but I'm really pumped about it. So, cause
we were in a meeting the other day in Euro. One of our talent development people did a meeting with us in Euro. We were all so psyched. We're like, oh my goodness, man. It's Euro.
I'm so jealous. So. That's so cool.
It was really cool. So, I was excited.
One of the things that you said that you're super passionate about is engaging families. Could you talk to us about that? How do you engage these families to be a part of your school and meet those expectations? Because we've all been there. We've all had parents who are resilient. They are resilient. So, but they're resilient at not doing things like how we want them to be. So how do you get those parents on board, or what's your advice there for that kind of mentality?
So my first thing I would say is, you know, just like we set expectations for students, setting expectations for learning coaches. You know, I try to meet with my learning coaches in the beginning of the year. I met with them all on Zoom. It did take some extra time, but I set up like a sign up genius and I had them all meet with me in Zoom. And that way they get to like actually see me, because believe it or not, a lot of third graders, like their learning coaches are not sitting nearby them when they go to their Class Connect classes. So that was my first thing. You know, I wanted them to see me and hear me and understand like what my expectations for them as their learning coach were, what my expectations of their student were. I think my second thing is being real with them. A lot of people come to K-12 because people have given them the runaround. They haven't felt supported at their school. So I feel like it's really important to help them feel supported and to be really real with them. Like, you know, if them, something's not working, just tell them this isn't working. Instead of, you know, giving them a runaround like, oh, but maybe, like they've already heard it all. Like, why are we going to come back and tell them the same thing that they've already heard a million times? And just like constant communication as well. I send a newsletter on a regular basis to my families. I use a program called S'more, which has been really cool. I ended up paying for the account because the free version, it has stuff on it, but you know, I just couldn't help myself. But in my newsletter, you know, the best thing about using S'more is that I can track who is actually reading my newsletter. So I can input on there my learning coach's emails, and then I can go in there and see, okay, this learning coach read it and this learning coach has it. And I can see a map of the United States and see like where each newsletter is being opened up at. So that's a really cool feature. So, you know, if I'm trying to communicate with a parent, like, oh, did you take a look at our newsletter? I saw you haven't clicked on it yet. It kind of makes them aware that I do notice these things. Something I like to include in my newsletter as well is shout outs, like kids that are having perfect attendance, or kids that are finishing out the week with no overdue assignments, or kids that are really doing well in our Blackboard classes. This week I had a student that they were reading about fossils in science, and she sent me a picture of petrified wood, and she was sitting next to the petrified wood. So I put a picture of her on the newsletter and shared out the little blurb that she sent me in the email. So different things like that gets our families engaged to, you know, open the email and want to view that newsletter. And I also send it out to my kids on Monday morning. I send them an email with it on Friday afternoon so they have it. But on Monday, when we go into classes, I send them a link to the newsletter so they can view it and they can see like, oh, look, this person got a shout out. Like maybe I want to get a shout out. So it really motivates them to want to come to class. And it kind of puts that competitiveness as well, between the students. It's healthy competition. And some learning coaches like want their kids to be recognized as well. So it gets them wanting to, you know, get to that point as well. So that I found that very helpful.
And tell me how you handle, tell me how you would handle this. So I've done something like this before where I gave like a kid a shout out and then I had a parent get really mad at me. What do you do when, if you have a parent that's like that, that gets upset that their kid's not getting a shout out?
So during each Class Connect, you know, we talk about expectations. Like, let's say that this week I'm looking for a student that's meeting this certain criteria. So we talk about that and what that looks like and how you can, you know, get that specific thing. So a lot of the times in this thing new that our school has kind of implemented, we use what we call the class contributor badge. So it's basically the closed caption button. And you can turn it on and it puts a little CC next to the kids' names. So I tell them, if you've earned your CC badge for the entire, your class contributor badge for the entire week, then you'll get a shout out in the newsletter. So that way the parents are aware too, like, hey, you know, your kid didn't get it in every single class and that's why they didn't get, you know, their shout out in the newsletter. So just setting those clear expectations as well so that the learning coaches are aware. And if they do try to come at me and like, hey, why didn't I get this? And, you know, I just send them an email, say, hey, this is what the expectation was. If you're not 100% sure, go back and watch the recordings for the week and you can see like exactly what I was expecting and why she may have not, or he may have not reached that, gotten that shout out.
I love that. That sound. having the expectations, I think, will definitely help. And so I also want to go back to your, like, LC meetings. Like, what kind of expectations do you put on the learning coaches during those meeting times?
So we always talk about, like, the general K-12, you know, learning coach expectations. I ask them if they have any questions about those things. You know, each grade level has a different amount of hours that they're supposed to spend working with their child. So I always remind them of that. And we always set some goals. I feel like that's really helpful because, you know, it helps them see that you're on their side and that you're wanting to work with them and with their child. So I've created like a little conference form for myself. And then at the end of that conference, I send it out to them and have them sign it or send me an email back saying that they've acknowledged it. So all the information that we talk about, you know, like expectations of hours, you know, what your child's expected to do. We talk about like different tech questions. We even have, because our school does like weekly orientations, because for a while we had like rolling enrollment, which was like super crazy. We would have new kids coming in every single week. So we would have our like an orientation on a weekly basis. So if they had any questions about that, I would send them the, you know, the link for the video to that orientation, because that also talks about learning coach expectations. And having that expectation for them too of communicating with me. So a lot of the times learning coaches will say, well, I didn't know, or this is happening. I'm like, well, did you reach out to me and ask me, or did you tell me? And they're like, no. It's like, well, I'm not a mind reader. And I tell that to my students all the time too. Like, I don't read minds. You have to communicate that with me. So that's also that part of being real with them and saying, you know, I can't help you if you're not willing to help yourself. So I think all of those things, and I always come back, like, I'm a big believer in expectations and making sure that everybody understands what's expected so that everything can go smoothly. Like, I want to know what the learning coaches expect from me, so therefore I want them to know what I expect from them.
I absolutely love all of this because I have high expectations for my kids, but I struggle with the expectations of parents. I think it's because I've always been at a school where, before starting at Oklahoma Virtual Charter Academy, I worked for some very, very low income family, they're low income families, and the school was therefore low income. So the socioeconomic was just very, very, really, really low. And so parents were working all the time, which was understood. So I didn't have a whole lot of parental involvement. And so then coming to Oklahoma Virtual Charter Academy, you got like this high parental involvement. There's parents there. They are in your class, which was something I was not used to. And then, yeah, you have those kids who are just not, they're not, their parents are not there. So you kind of have in middle, and I don't, or, and yeah, both sides.
Yeah.
And I'm not always confident in talking to parents. So you telling me to be real and you tell, you know, that's powerful and that's empowering. So thank you for saying that. I need to step into my role and really be honest with them and be real. Like, hey, what's happening right now is not working and we need to change it. And next year I kind of wanted to do like an LC boot camp. Like right now we do a boot camp when new kids come in, like you talked about the orientation. And I want to do that with my new for all of my learning coaches. I thought, so a lot of what you just talked about, I totally wrote down on that list. But another thing I wanted to do was probably like a proctor training for like what the state would provide, because I have parents who are either super involved and helping on these tests or trying to anyway. And then I have parents who are just not monitoring at all. So my kids are like just rushing through it or on YouTube, you know, like that's happened a couple times. We're like, are you done with your test? And they're like, no. And I'm like, then why are you on YouTube, bro? And so like, it would be really helpful to have the parents like in on that, like could be proctors and go into that proctor role, like what the state wants during state testing. So that's something I'm considering there. So thank you for empowering me to be real and with my parents, like I am with my kids. So that's really, really amazing.
I think too, a lot of the times, because I have, you know, I have the same thing. I have some learning coaches that are like really scary. Like they just come at you like from out of nowhere, just like ready to attack. They, like, they haven't terrifying. Even said anything to you. And you're like, what? So I try to, you know, because I get very passionate about things. So I try to keep notes or a conference form or something to kind of guide my ideas as well. And then I just highlight or check off like what I've talked about to make sure that, you know, they don't like derail the conversation. Because when you have some learning coaches who are, you know, just in your face, like they don't want to, and it's not that they are coming from a bad place, it's that a lot of these learning coaches, from my experience, have had such poor experiences in their schools. So they're automatically with that defense up, right? They're not sure what to do. So I feel like we have to break down those walls a lot of time, and then they end up loving the program. My favorite is when I go into a lot of the IEP meetings and you just hear the learning coaches ranting and raving about how much they love K-12 and love the programs and how it's been so helpful for their student. And that just makes it all worth it.
Absolutely. And I almost think like these expectations are going to lower my parental attacks. I've noticed that this year I haven't had as many, and I think it's because I've raised my expectations and been a little bit more clear. As each year goes, I seem to learn more and more about how I want my classroom to be, and stepping more into that role that I am the classroom teacher. This is my classroom, and it's not their classroom. It's not the kids' classroom. It's mine, and I'm sharing it with these kids and trying to educate them. But I still struggle with the communication part and being real, like when things aren't going good. So thank you again. I can't thank you enough for that. That was super empowering. I'm excited about the next call that I make that to the struggling parent and struggling student, because I'm going to be able to communicate my expectations better in a real way. And hopefully in turn, it's going to help the kid. And that's really what it's all about. So goodness, thank you. thank you so much. That was really amazing. Knowing that your school is brand new, and you said, going back to what you said earlier, you don't know what you don't know. What's been the most eye-opening thing or big thing that's happened this school year that's been like, okay, yeah, I'm really glad I stepped into this role, but it was something that you weren't expecting to happen or be a part of this world?
So I think a huge issue that, you know, I don't even know really how to word it. So when we were given all of the information, you know, in the beginning of the year, a lot of the stuff in the OLS that we were given doesn't align with our Florida standards. But we have had to kind of just deal with it. So stepping into my new role, it's been awesome, you know, thinking into next year, how we're going to change that. And we're doing some curriculum mapping, which is super exciting to make those changes. And I think too, like when you're in the teacher role and, you know, you hear your admin saying all the time, like, oh, we're trying this or we're doing this, you know, as a teacher, a little bit skeptical, because I was. But I get to sit in on a lot of admin meetings now in my new role. And I hear, at least my admin, they're very dedicated to our students, and what they're telling their teachers, they're really meaning it. And that was like really exciting. And certainly back to like the whole curriculum mapping thing, like, you know, right now, a lot of our teachers are very frustrated. I was very frustrated because these kids, you know, they're going to have to take their state testing, and the material that they've been covering for most of the year isn't even going to be on our state test. Because it's not aligned to our standards. So knowing that next year we're going to have that flexibility to make changes as we need, and being able to assist our teachers in doing that and assist them with that curriculum mapping, which I have a big passion for, like curriculum and lesson planning, it's really exciting for me. I think that's going to be a really great opportunity, and that's going to help our students grow and our teachers grow, because curriculum mapping is like a monster. But it's going to put some more skills in the teacher toolbox that they can use for later if needed.
Yeah, so what are you guys going to do about that? Because we kind of have the same issue in Oklahoma. I'm thankful that the most of the curriculum is is meeting the kids, our state standards and our kids' needs. But there are some standards that are just not there. And so what are you guys going to do about that? As far as that something you're just going to hit in your OL or in your class connects? What's your solution to that?
So a couple of different things. We're definitely going to use those class connects to hit some of those standards that aren't covered, but we're also going to be adding in some supplemental material. Hopefully we're going to be getting IXL, which is a really cool program. We got an awesome demo on it recently, and it seems that, you know, with its remediation piece, as well as the different connections that it has to our Florida standards, that's going to be really helpful for all of our students, all the way from kindergarten to 11th grade. It even has like science and history stuff. So that'll be helpful for like our EOCs. So our plan is, you know, use what we can definitely from the OLS. But if it's not there, then we're not going to force it. We're going to, you know, use materials like IXL. We also have USA Test Prep that we can use, and any other resources possible to kind of fill in those gaps, because our ultimate goal is to do what's best for our students. And we're not going to just have them do work to do work. We want it to be meaningful. And if that's what we have to do, then that's what we got to do.
Absolutely. I think next year elementary is going to have a different platform. So that I think we're able to put in lessons more. And that'll be helpful. So
that'd be great. You guys.
So, I mean, it looks, I had to fill out that, I'm sure your school did too, but we had to fill out a survey of what it looked like and our feedback on it. And so I was like, oh man, this is going to be awesome. So
I don't think we got that.
What? I'm so sorry. Maybe it's because you guys are just brand new and they're like, let's just let them figure this whole system out. But I don't know. I don't know who it went to. I just know I got it and I immediately filled it out, and it looks very, very, it's not too kiddish, but it's not like what it is now where it's not super engaging to look at. It just looks a lot more engaging for kids.
Awesome.
And so, and there's hopefully going to be some really cool features. But anyway, right now you can make a lesson, but I think it's going to be even easier and more manipulative. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, this sounds like a great plan that you guys have in place for your class connects. And I know that our school used IXL for mainly the special education department used it, but they really enjoyed it too. And I know my kids who had IEPs got a lot out of it. So.
Okay. So that's good to hear.
Yeah, super pumped for you. All right. And, you know, coming up at the end of our time together, there's many things that I don't know. You know, like there's things that I, like what you said earlier, you don't know what you don't know. And I don't know what it's like to be at a new school. And there's sometimes I forget what it's like to be a brand new teacher. And so putting those both together, a brand new teacher at a brand new school, seems so overwhelming. But I'm sure you have a lot of advice for teachers who are coming into this world after experiencing all this. What advice would you have for teachers who are listening to this? So what advice would you have for them and for people who might view us as an anomaly?
Definitely, if you want to get into, you know, online teaching, ask a lot of questions about it. I feel like the more knowledge you have under your belt, the more likely you are to get a position in here. Just because we use so many different systems, it's not just like black and white. There is a lot to it. And I feel like that's a misconception that a lot of people have, you know, where you're just picking up the phone and calling all day or something like that. And it's not the case. So, you know, keeping that in mind, what else can I say? Time management, if you're in this role, definitely. You know, there's just so much every single day, especially being a new teacher in this online environment and being a new school. I feel like every day you get 100 emails on different things to do. But just managing or trying to manage your time as effectively as possible, building schedules so that you know what you're supposed to do, and keeping lists. I'm a big list keeper. I have a notebook full of stuff. To manage my time and things that I have to do. And just when you're in the position, just asking questions as well, because like I said earlier, you don't know what you don't know. So there's sometimes things where like, I wish that I had this, and then I bet somebody else already does have it. So, you know, it's worth asking a question, see, and reaching out to see if other people have already created it. Because I know, you know, there's a lot of resources out there for us, and people are really moving in this direction. So I'm sure that more things will continue to pop up as time goes on.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with all of that. And then my last question for you is just this, is what, because like I just said, that's probably the title of your episode is we don't know what we don't know. But I don't know, and I don't know everything, but there might be something that you want to just talk about. And so I kind of just leave that open to you. Is there something that you want to talk about and wish other teachers knew about that might benefit them that you would like to explore or talk about?
That's a hard question. I think that's the hardest question you've asked all night. I'm not sure. I just feel like, you know, I always tell people like, this is my dream job. You know, I'm sure that other people feel the same about it. It's just something that's, it's like, I can't even explain like what we do each day, because we do it all. We're just like the regular teachers in our classrooms, but you know, we're in our pajamas. So you get that flexibility of having that. I know, you know, we have testing coming up and it's going to be like 40 degrees and I have to actually leave my house. Like when it's going to be 40 degrees outside here in Florida, so that sounds terrible. But yeah, I'm not sure. I feel like a lot of people have that grass is greener on the other side feeling all the time. But I feel like K-12 and my school, I love my school. It's like a dream to truly be in there, like reflecting back on how it was in brick and mortar and thinking back to all the things that I had to deal with there. Like I feel like I'm at home here. Like I can actually help my students, and like I'm actually here for them. Like I'm not, you know, just doing all these other things for nothing. And that my voice is actually being heard, which is like really, really important to me, I feel, as a teacher, because a lot of us don't get that. So, you know, speak up, because if you want your voice heard, I'm sure somebody is willing to hear it, which is really nice.
I love that. I love that you are this voice for your students and your voice for these learning coaches. I love that you're not afraid to be like, hey, this isn't working. And I think that's my biggest takeaway from you is I need to be stern, probably even more, and just speak direct. I feel like, yes, I've been really beating around the bush sometimes. I'm not always straightforward, and be more upfront about my expectations of the learning coaches. I think that's going to help my kids so much. And so I'm really, really excited about all of that. And I'm excited for you and your new school and your new job. I think I feel the same way. This is my dream job. Well, actually, no, it's not. I have I have hopes of training teachers to be virtual teachers, but in the current of the now, this is my dream job, but I'm excited about my future and what that holds as well. So I'm excited for your school and watching it grow and blossom. And thanks for sharing all this with me. And yeah, so you're an amazing person, and thank you for talking to me. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, anytime you want to, like, if you think of anything later, I'm like, man, I feel like this topic isn't being talked about. We should talk about it. Just let me know. And I'd be love to let you be that voice for that. So I'm happy to listen to anybody's voices. That's why I started this. So
awesome.
Yep. Well, thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate it. And you have a great night. Woo! I don't know about you, but I'm feeling empowered all over again. I hope that you are too. And I'm so stoked to have had this conversation, because now next year, for our next school year, we are going to be doing LC University, kind of their own boot camp, where we teach them our expectations, not just for our students, but also for those learning coaches. And I think having Neuro, where they have their video cameras on, is going to be extremely helpful, because we're not only going to be able to see their kids, but we're going to be able to see the learning coaches as well. Because we know the parents, or I should say the kids, with the strong learning coaches make the most success. They make the most academic gains, which is what we all want from our students, right? And maybe the reason why we have struggling learning coaches, I guess is the best way to say it, is maybe because we're not being super clear with them. We're not being real. So my encouragement to you as we finish this year, talk to your administrators on how you could raise the expectations for your learning coaches. Could you potentially do a learning coach university for them? Are you already doing that? If so, tell me what you guys are doing so I can pass it on to my teammates. Thanks so much for listening and have a lovely day. As always, be brave, take a risk, but most of all, have fun. See y'all next time. Bye.